You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We are talking this week again with CEOs about leadership. They're from across the D.C. area. We want to find out what's in their portfolio, what's in their leadership portfolio. And I also want to remind you to nominate a leader for Business Leader of the Year and Leadership Business of the Year. Visit leadersportfolio.com. You can nominate someone who's appeared on Leaders Portfolio, or you can nominate a firm that you run, or nominate your employer if you work for someone. But we really are looking for the best kind of leadership story from across the D.C. area. On Leaders Portfolio today, we have the co-founder and CEO of Logic, Andy Wilson. Logic is ranked number 181 on the Inc. 500 list. And we also have Fran Lessons, president and CEO of Passport Health, and she won the 2006 Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award for the Maryland region. Our first guest in the LeaderSpot studio is the president and chief investment officer of McGinn Investment Management, Bernie McGinn. And we want to welcome you to Leaders Portfolio.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Now, McGinn Investment Management is located in Alexandria, Virginia. Your firm philosophy is to find companies that are, quote unquote, misunderstood victims of investor overreaction to short-term news, unquote. Talk about that.
Well, we invest in large cap, well-capitalized companies. And a lot of times, and we tend to be contrarian in nature, which means that if the masses like something, we tend not to like it. And we look for things that people for some reason are not high on, and if at any given time you can find companies, for example, a Ford 2 years ago, Ford 18 mm-hmm. months ago, where nobody really wants to touch it because they think they know the story, and of course when you think you know the story, you probably aren't really paying attention, and the story's actually changing while you're thinking one way or another. And that's what we do. And as I said, they're all large cap companies, so the news is out there, and you can really follow stories pretty well that way.
Now, and you currently have a few employees, annual sales of under $500,000 approximately, and you founded this firm in 1991. And what I wanted to ask you is, you work for a lot of large institutions where you probably had a reliable, regular salary, and you said to yourself, I want to do this myself. I want to be entrepreneurial and start a firm. Why?
Well, I don't even know if I did that. I just knew that I didn't want to be where I was. And I mean, I did start the firm, obviously, but I wanted to be somewhere where I made the decisions. I was in charge of the allocation of resources. I focused on what I wanted to focus on, not what the firm wanted to focus on. A lot of the jobs were not a lot of jobs, but they were sort of billed as investment jobs, but really they were just sales jobs. And what I do now is analyze companies and try to make money for people, and that's what we try to do.
And you have a portfolio turnover rate of about 25%. Talk
right.
about this.
Well, the what that means is that our portfolios on average will turn over one time in 4 years. So we're looking for stories. For most of the time, they're turnaround stories, but they really are companies that are misunderstood, and we're patient so that we'll wait until the story unfolds, and also, Wall Street tends to be they tend to confine their thinking to 90-day intervals, and the reality of it is it's impossible to pick good companies. And have stories play out in 90 days. And, our average hold is about, it's 25% turnover. So our average, we're holding stocks for 3 or 4 years waiting for stories to play out. And in general, that's how long it takes. I mean, if you've got a company, again, I'll go back to Ford. I mean, Ford was in bad shape, and it needed to do a number of things to get healthy, and it just takes time to get these things done.
You have a number of shares in Ford, and I was reading some of your insights on Ford and your thoughts on them. Talk to me about what's going on at Ford in the automotive industry. I mean,
What's going on in the automotive industry is that it's changing, and the American automotive industry. We all witnessed the bankruptcy of General Motors and the bankruptcy of Chrysler. But what happened at Ford is Ford's run by a guy named Alan Mulally, who was an executive at Boeing, and he was actually the executive who helped turn Boeing around after the 9/11 when the towers went down. And what he's done, he's basically refocused the company on cars that people want to buy. He's cut overhead. He's brought in new models. He's changed manufacturing from geographic centered to the U.S., Europe, South America to global manufacturing. And he's also instilled a confidence in the workforce and a respect within the marketplace. As you recall, Ford was the only company that didn't take government money.
I was fascinated about this story and my background is a policy background. So what works and why, et cetera. And I was interested in how, the Ford CEO had one plan and he went off plan. But he had the money in the bank. And so he was able to quickly, when the economy hit, change course of action quickly.
Well, in Ford's case, when Alan Mulally came in the fourth quarter of 2006, they needed a turnaround, and they needed it right then. And he was smart enough to realize that if you go for financing and things don't go your way, you can't go back twice. You have to get everything all at once. And in Ford's case, they leveraged everything, including that little blue oval on the front of the cars that says Ford in the middle.
And I remember that. I read it. I thought that was brilliant.
I mean, they don't even own that. And as it turned out, not only do we have bad times, but we had the worst of times in the auto industry. It was the worst of times since the 1930s. And had he not gone out and got all the money, he would have had no shot of getting any additional money after the first tranche. And what that allowed him to do was, A, survive – Not only survive the credit crunch, but it also survive $1.47 a barrel of oil it allowed him to to sort of shift gears. And in fact, when things got the worst, Ford actually went in and bought some of their debt back at like 24 cents on the dollar. And that same debt now has appreciated probably sixfold, sevenfold since then. So he's been really opportunistic, and he's being rewarded for it, and so is Ford.
Do you when you decide which of these companies are going to work? Do you pick them based on the leadership or the business that they're in, either the model that they use or the sector they're in, or is it all three?
Well, it's not so much the model; it's the sector, and it's also the leadership. There are certain people that are good leaders, and certain people that aren't good leaders. And there are certain people over their careers they have demonstrated the ability to get things done. Generally, when we go into on a sector basis, the sectors are not the hot sectors. Okay, for example, we didn't own a whole lot of high tech stuff back in 99 and 2000, because that was where the hot money was. That's where the prices had already appreciated. We're looking for companies that are their stocks haven't, their prices haven't appreciated, and because that's where the opportunity is. And of course, the key to that is you've got to have the patience to let the story play out. And if you think about it, the finance is about a story, and it's the story that makes the opportunity, and the numbers are sort of filled in from the story.
Do you so wherever Alan will go, will you know he's going to make that company work?
Well, he's 63 or 64, so this may be
this
may be it. But when he left Boeing and went to Ford, I knew he had a shot to turn around Ford because he's that good.
What makes a good? You said you often pick companies that need a turnaround story. What makes a good turnaround CEO?
Well, it has to be somebody that looks long-term, number one. Has to be a person that has a lot of patience, number two. Has to be a smart individual because you need brains to get it done. All of those things combined and that does it.
Also, I would wonder if it's somebody who believes in it when everyone else questions them more so than a regular non-turnaround CEO.
Well, you got to believe that. I mean, part of the whole investment theme and also the employment theme is you got to believe you can turn it around. And I guess that's a good point, because there are times when people get the CEO job to fix a company and they just got the job. There are other times when they have the job to fix the CEO job. They're brought in from the outside for whatever strengths that they have, and he left tens of millions of dollars on the table at Boeing. I mean, that's a serious commitment to come to Ford. And I do think that the turnaround of Ford really is a story that's going to make the history books. I mean, these guys these people are coming in there and they are turning around an American icon. And they're being successful, and they will be successful because of this Alan Mulally has instilled that belief in everybody. And if you go talk to the random Ford people, they're going to tell you the same thing. He's the guy. So, he definitely believes it.
Now, let's get into your leadership story a little bit. You received a BA in political science from the University of Maryland and an MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. So we have a Penn relationship
there.
And so were those good experiences for you?
Oh, yeah. Both of them were great experiences. I mean, the political science was one way. It's actually a good it's a nice degree in the finance business because you don't get so stuck on the numbers. You get stuck on stories.
Policy,
that type of thing. And the finance degree at Wharton, I mean, then you learn finance. And
you know, that's a good point. And one of the things that I see is those fields need to talk to each other, too. I don't understand how you can study, you know, political science without knowing how the business world works, right?
Well,
because government's so interrelated. And vice versa. How do you not know? I mean, we've had CEOs come in here and they say this one policy, you know, happened. I thought I was going to be out of business. Now I know I'm going to be in business because of a policy they weren't even lobbying for, right? So it can completely affect a business.
Well, the power of the government to help or hurt companies is tremendous. And I agree with you. If you got to look at Washington, see what's going on. You got to look at your state capitol, see what's going on, because they affect what you're going to do. And I don't necessarily think that the people that are making that policy necessarily know what they're doing anyway, in the sense of how it's going to affect your business.
Well, tell me what your leadership philosophy is.
Well, I think that the reason that I have been relatively successful in business, in the money management business, is I believe that I work for the client, and that that it's the client's money. They hire me to help them maintain their assets and grow their assets, and maintain first, grow second, because if you shrink it, you can't grow it. Okay, but I also believe that you know, however much money a client gives me, it's their money, and it's important to them, whether it's for education, retirement, their mortgage, or whatever. It's real money to them, and it needs to be treated as such.
Excellent. And how is the economic climate affecting your business?
Well, 2008 was challenging, to say the least. 2009, particularly since the first week in March, has been much better, as I think the world understands that.
Surprisingly better.
Well, surprisingly better, because I think people realize now that we're not going to, the world's not coming to an end, and at the end of the day, we're going to recover from this. It may take a couple of years, but, the world's not coming to an end.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us in Leaders Portfolio.
Well, thanks for having me.
Bernie, here with us in Leaders Portfolio, President and Chief Investment Officer of McGinn Investment Management. And located in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith, thanking sponsors Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsoring Leaders Portfolio. We'll be back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.